Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 203 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltak, and thanks for joining me again today. We have an action-packed episode with some huge things in it. On the downside, the Liberals have rolled out their national confiscation program. We've got all the dates, all the information you need to make your decisions. On the upside, we are going to be unveiling the biggest gun contest in the history of the country. I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. This is the biggest contest in the history of the firearms community in Canada. So can't wait to tell you about that. Also, the CCFR needs some help. So it's a call out for volunteers with a few shows that we have happening across the country. I'm going to be telling you where these shows are and what help we need. So hopefully we can round up a few volunteers to help the CCFR at this important time in the history of gun owners. We will also be drawing. I will draw the winner of the Canuck Wrangler contest. So I definitely want to thank everyone who renewed their membership or took out a new membership during the period of this contest. So we will reveal the winner today, as well as an update on the CCFR AGM and plenty more. So all that and more, the CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now. Thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. All right, we're back now. I've got a couple of really cool things to go over with you before we bring Tracy on. The most important is we're going to do first the most fun, which is the draw for the Canuck Wrangler in 38 Special 357. So if you remember, we had a draw for a free draw for anyone who bought a CCFR membership or renewed their membership over a period of time, which just recently ended. That time has now come to a close, and we are going to do the draw right this second. All right, we have a spreadsheet here. Let's go to this. And this spreadsheet has the names of everyone who either bought a new membership during the contest period or renewed their membership. And then we've got random.org, so a random number generator that takes a random number out of a number range, the lowest number and the highest number. So here's all the people. We're going to start from row number two. I've hidden everyone's last name. I'll only reveal the winner's last name. And then, so from two, two, Okay, 12,412. 12,412. All right, here we go. 11,350. Who is on line 11,350? Whoa. This is a big list. Thank you to everyone who continues to support the CCFR. Really, really appreciate that. 11,350. All right. And this is Tony from Calgary. I'm going to stop sharing this. And we will tell you who Tony is. Tony Smith from Calgary, Alberta. Thank you so much, Tony, for your support. And thanks to everyone who kept an active membership to the CCFR. You're the reason why we can do all the things that we do. So really appreciate that. Congratulations, Tony Smith of Calgary, Alberta. And thank you so much to everyone who renewed their membership or bought a new membership with the CCFR. We can't do any of this stuff without you. Like nothing. Like you guys, and I know I say that all the time, but you're the reason that any of this is possible. Like seriously, right? I would be off doing something else. Wilson would be off doing something else, right? working wherever. And none of the projects that we've done and the project that we are going to be doing, none of that stuff could be possible without you guys. So I can't tell you how grateful we are and how privileged we are just to be working for you. For me as an individual gun owner, I know I've said it a million times, just to be able to do the stuff that I do because of your support and your trust. I can't tell you how grateful I am. So anyway. All right. Now, speaking of help, we do need a little bit of help because I think we're doing a few more shows this spring than we normally do. So we're talking February, March, and maybe April. So in this little span of time, we have too many shows and not enough people in certain areas in the country. So we're asking for you, if you're not a field officer of the CCFR, if you could spare a day or two over the next 3 months to help us out. And it's typically working booths. So just talking about the CCFR and helping out, sell people, you know, swag or give them some information or just chat with them, let them know what's going on if you're aware and just stuff like that. So here are the areas where we really need help or where teams need help. So in Eastern Canada, so that means New Brunswick, Newfoundland, and Nova Scotia. Those three areas in particular. Basically all of BC. We have a great team in BC, but it's just not big enough to handle the shows that we've got. So we're talking about the Lower Mainland of British Columbia, the Fraser Valley, Greater Vancouver area, Northern British Columbia, the Kootenays, and Vancouver Island. Like pretty much everywhere in the province. We really need some help. So if you're interested in that, reach out. I'll tell you how in a second. And then in Manitoba and Saskatchewan, we really need some help, volunteer help in those two provinces. And like I said, typically it's just a day or two here or there for a show that we have coming up to work the booth. So anyway, if you can help us out in any of those areas, please email us as soon as you can at volunteer@firearmrights.ca. That's volunteer@firearmrights.ca. I'll put the email address in the description box below, depending on where you're watching this. And in the subject line, just put urgent help needed. Urgent help needed. And that way, because the guys know that when they see that in the subject line, it's somebody new that's volunteering to help at a show. So really important. If you could possibly spare a day or two, we would greatly appreciate it and would help keep pushing the organization forward. Okay. Now, some of these shows and some other shows that the CCFR is going to be at that are worth mentioning. Orangeville, Gun and Military Show, that is on January the 25th from 8 a.m. to noon. And that's this weekend, actually. So that's coming right up a couple of days from now. The Calgary Boat and Outdoor Show in Calgary, Alberta, obviously, on February the 20th weekend. That show is going to have the laser range, I'm pretty sure. One in Quebec. So the Saint Hyacinthe Outdoor Hunting and Fishing Show. That's on the weekend of February 20th. I apologize for butchering that. I don't speak French. So anyway, I think if you're in Quebec, you probably know that show because I think it's one of the biggest ones in the province. So that's on February the 20th. I think we're going to have our laser range there too. This is a laser range or a number of them that we've created with Strikeman. So again, thank you so much to Strikeman for helping us create those. Adam over there has done a fantastic job and it's a really cool little attraction. We're also going to be at the Red Deer Sports and Outdoor Show. That's on the February 27th weekend. The BC Sports and Wilderness Show on March 6th. I will be at that one. And that one is in Abbotsford, British Columbia, if memory serves me correctly. BC Outdoors Show, that's in Chilliwack on the March 13th weekend. I will be at that one too, and so will our laser range, both of those last two shows. The Toronto Sportsman Show, of course, in Mississauga, Ontario, TSS, on the weekend of March 19th. We've got the laser range, another laser range there, and I will be there as well as Wilson. The Edmonton Boat and Sportsman Show on the March 19th weekend. The Historical Arms Collector Show in Chilliwack on March 19th weekend as well. So there are a lot of shows coming out there. You can always check our events calendar on ccfr.ca. All the information is there for every show that we are aware of in the country. So ccfr.ca and check out the events calendar. Okay, I had to check my list to make sure that I got everything. And I think I did, certainly for this section. I have a couple of other things I'll share with you in the outro, but let's get Wilson on. All right, via the internet, we have Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
There it is. Hey, Rod, how you doing? I'm coming to you from my office and not my studio once again.
Yeah. Well, I guess your computer's broken right now, right?
I don't know. I blew it up or something. I'm waiting for Greg to come and help me, but we haven't been able to get together.
Yeah. And that's, speaking of Greg, that's Greg Weiss, who was Field Officer of the Year for the CCFR in 2025, and who's always there to fix everything.
Yeah, he totally bails me out all the time. So yeah, I need his help.
Yes, Greg is exceptional. Okay. So we got a bunch of stuff to go through. There's been a lot of news for the firearms community, obviously.
Oh yeah.
With the buyback and all the rest of that stuff. And, you know, a lot of it is quite negative, but it's information that everybody needs to know. Now there's some funny points, but I think how we're structuring this conversation is we're going to go from the worst stuff and then turn it around and come back to the best stuff, because there's some interesting and exciting news coming. So let's get started. And we're going to launch into our conversation about the buyback. So as most people, I think, already know, because it's been everywhere, the Liberal Party of Canada, the Liberal government, has decided to throw the doors open to their national firearm compensation buyback / confiscation program. And it just launched a few days ago.
Yeah, that's right. So here we are on a Saturday afternoon, which is weird for a press conference, but in any event, the Liberal government was able to secure a contract with the province of Quebec to have the Sûreté du Québec, the provincial police force, do their confiscations. And this was a perfect opportunity for them to launch nationally. So they got all the important, pertinent people together. The Minister Gary was there, the Quebec Public Safety Minister, a bunch of laws enforcement, and of course, the Secretary of State for Nature, because she plays a vital role in gun control. But they rolled this out. And I can tell you that I know it's a lot of bad news and it's overwhelming for people. It's overwhelming for us too. But really, when you boil it down, what they did here, all they've got is they opened up a registration website. That's it. That's the entirety of the announcement, is it's a website. So it's their attempt, and the goal is to acquire as much data and information from gun owners as they possibly can and find out exactly what you've got. So that's what they're asking people to do.
Yeah. So the portal went live, which is interesting in itself, right? Because the only other live test they had was in Cape Breton, involving 16 people entering information. And 25 firearm records were entered in there. And they're like, okay, this is, I don't know any IT person or database architect or whatever that would be like, okay, if we're going to roll this out to 2.4 million people, we should test it with 25 people first. And if that works, 16 people, if that works, that's the criteria we need to go live. But anyway, this is the government we're talking about. So they do things differently.
Well, hopefully it meets the same fate as the Phoenix Pay system and just blows up.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Portal's open. It's open right now. It closes because we got to talk about things that people need to know. It closes on March the 31st. So it's going to be open for just over 3 months. And what they're expecting is everyone to run in and tell the government what you have to see if you have a chance at getting paid. Now, the amnesty... So some people are confusing this with the amnesty. The amnesty ends October 30th at the end of this year. So
yes,
you don't have to participate in the buyback. As Big Gary says, it's voluntary, but the March 31st deadline does not mean you have to turn your guns in, just so you know.
Yes, that's right. I mean, everyone's protected regardless of where you live, regardless of if they were previously non-restricted or restricted. You're still protected by that amnesty until the end of October 2026. And that's really important. So, I personally will not be participating in the Hunger Games for gun owners and trying to compete against other people to try and get a scrap of what's provided. But I mean, everyone has to make those decisions for themselves, but it's a no from me.
Yeah. Now, speaking of which, we've been screaming from the rooftops this whole time. They're going to rip you off. And in fact,
yes.
And we'll get into a little bit of detail here. I did my little research project, came up with an estimate that was deemed realistic by others in the industry that there's probably over 2 million of these previously non-restricted firearms that are now prohibited in circulation in Canada, at least 2 million.
Yes.
Which when the number of firearms that the public safety was intending to compensate people for, that ended up, it was the number was 152,000, 126,000 of them that are currently restricted. And then that only left 26,000 to be previously non-restricted, now prohibited, that they were going to compensate for out of 2 million. So we came up with this kind of number, you know, about 1%. And I know it sounds crazy, like 99% of people are going to get ripped off. But I just want to be really clear about where that number came from. This is if everyone participates. If everyone that has, mm-hmm. that is in possession of one of these things participates in this buyback, yeah, only 1% would get paid. Everyone else would get ripped off. Now, obviously, most people aren't going to participate in this. If you look at what happened in Cape Breton, so are 99% of the people going to get ripped off? No, it depends on how many people actually put their information into the portal. Now, you and I have been talking about the fact that this is a premeditated ripoff by the government of Canada, contrary to what they promised for over 5 years. And mm-hmm. I think what's important is they keep admitting it. It's, you know, it's not gun lobby misinformation. They keep admitting it. In fact, here's Gary just from the other day.
The process is straightforward. You can submit your declaration through the program's online portal or by mail. I urge you to declare as early as you can, because submitting a declaration does not guarantee compensation. Declarations will be processed on a first-come, first-serve basis.
So it seems the more Gary talks, the worse it actually gets. Because originally they were talking about reimbursing for 152,000 firearms, which is a complete lowball compared to what's out there, as you know. However, now they're talking about the program's only going to cover 136,000 firearms. So every time he talks about it, it keeps getting less and less. And the $742 million in funding has now been reduced to less than $250 million for the compensation itself. So you're right. Most people are going to get absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Well, and again, that depends on how many people participate. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to what you need to know, again, you have until October 30th to dispose of, deactivate, or hand in your newly prohibited firearm, your assault weapons, apparently, right? Now, one of the reasons why a lot of people, I think us included, are not going to try to get ourselves involved in the Hunger Games is because a lot can happen between and October the 30th. So why don't you give us a couple of examples?
Well, I was talking about that because I get it. People are contacting us like crazy. My phone's been blowing up and on fire for 4 days straight now. And people are saying, what do I do? What do I do? Do nothing. Because here's the thing. A lot can change between now and the end of October. And that date could even be pushed back further. It's been pushed back multiple times. And I think the lower uptake is in the program, the more that date might get pushed back as well. But we'll have to wait and see. But aside from that, politics moves fast. You don't have to. We could be in an election. We could roll out our national program. Something could happen there. You know, there's a lot of opposition to this. That could change. The Supreme Court can call and say, okay, we're going to hear you guys. All kinds of different things can happen between now and then. But if you filled out that declaration, it's too late for you. You've already given them that information. So that's like, for me, I am not for sale and neither are my guns. So I'm just going to hold off on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone's got their own decision to make about that. Yes. One of the other things that we mentioned was when public safety did a technical briefing, they only did it for the media. And then they did another one for their industry partner. But the gun lobby and stakeholder groups were not included. Interesting. That was an interesting thing.
Well, and it's funny because the minister actually gave some commentary to a reporter who asked him about that. And he said that he has been reluctant to share details with the gun lobby because we are changing people's minds about participating in this program. So I'm happy about that. Thank you, Gary. It's good to know that what we're doing is working. So I appreciate that. But In the long run, it really makes no difference because we wouldn't be supporting these actions anyways. So,
well, telling everyone that you're going to get their information and then rip them off after that definitely discourages participation as well, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, they can't complain about compliance at the end of this thing when this is how they treat it. They went from, we're going to ban these guns, it's no fault of your own, we'll compensate everybody, to we're going to compensate some people, to we're going to compensate barely anybody. And you guys have to compete for it. And, you know, having partners like Quebec, the province of Quebec signed up as the first official provincial partner, having that, you know, it's sort of like, I think we can see where this is going to go. It was to appease Quebec in the first place, as per the minister's own words.
Now, when this rolled out, like we can talk a little bit about the timing, right? Because I was asked, I think I did 10 interviews. I think you did around 10 as well, which is pretty good, right? The gun lobby got 20 chances through terrestrial radio to mainstream cable news to, and yes, a little bit of alternative media, right? So it was good. I forget about the written commentary. I always forget about that. Mm-hmm. There was that too. So we ended up getting a fair bit of media on this. One of the questions I was asked, you probably got asked too, was, this is really weird. They rolled this out on a Saturday. Any commentary on the timing?
Well, it's funny. If you think back to that week, it was a really tough week for the Prime Minister and for the Liberals in general, because we had the ruling come out of the federal appeals court where the federal government had challenged the federal court's decision to deem the use of the Emergencies Act back on the Freedom Convoy as illegal. So the government had appealed that and they lost their appeal. So that was interesting. So the ruling stands, it was an illegal use of the Emergencies Act. That's really bad news for this government, because although Mark Carney wasn't the prime minister at the time, he was one of the main voices pushing for that type of reaction. And a lot of the current government is the old government, right? So it's the same people. At the same time, Carney was running around the world trying to make deals with communist China and other places. So he was taking a lot of heat from that. The relationship with the Americans, of course, has blown up. And, you know, that's not our topic. We're not going to get into why that is. But there was a lot of commentary and people who were upset with Carney for making a deal with China, right? It's a difficult situation when you're aligning with countries who have committed some egregious acts like China has. So there was a really bad news story. And I mean, you know me, I watch politics and news 24 hours a day. All the power panels on CTV and everywhere else was talking about it. And boom, they drop this press conference, which was basically just announcing a website when you really break it down. They dropped this on a Saturday and the entire news cycle completely turned on a dime. Nobody's talking about the use of the Emergencies Act. So yeah. That in itself is kind of a bad point to all the media, but it's a definite channel changer.
Yeah, for sure. But I will give some mainstream media some credit, because one of the things that we've been trying to push around there, I don't know what you're saying in interviews. I guess I should check. Hey, there could be all kinds of,
probably, who knows what I'm saying.
A big train wreck happening. I don't know, but we're pretty aligned on our talking points either way. But one of the things that I've been pushing is that it is important that everyday Canadians, non-gun owning Canadians, people maybe that are just, you know, the great undecided. The one thing that they need to understand is that this isn't about public safety. And when you can say that all you want, but people will believe. These types of people will tend to just believe authority, right? If the government says it or CBC says it, then it's about public safety. We don't need these guns anyway. But one thing I've been pushing is, if this was about public safety, then the government would pay for these guns. They'd say everyone is guaranteed compensation if they participate, because we need these guns out of our communities. And they're doing the exact opposite. They're not even going to pay for half. They're going to rip almost everybody off. So anyway, we've had a really hard time getting the media to pick up on that. And
yes,
what I found this time around, and I did take time, like when I talk to these people before we record or even while we're recording, I tell them, like, listen, this is what all the media is, you know, what the mainstream media is not talking about. And it's probably one of the most important things. And you know what? I think half of my interviews, that was the featured commentary.
Yeah, it's a very important point because, you know, obviously the ultimate outcome would be for Carney to scrap this thing and for us just to keep our stuff and go back to normal, right? That would be ideal. But if that's not going to happen, and the idea was truly that it's not our fault that we own these guns that you've now decided to make illegal, you're right. They would just compensate everybody and just do it. It may be unpopular budget-wise, right? Because it would cost them upwards of probably, I don't know, $5 or $6 billion, but it would be the right and fair thing to do. So to say that, you know, here you go, guys, line up to fill out these forms, fill out this website, give us a list of what you own. And after we confiscate them, we'll decide if you get anything at all. Like, it's just, it's incredible. It's set up for failure. And I think that's intentional.
Yeah. Well, they're doing everything they can to convince people not to comply. So
anyway, yes,
or not to apply for compensation at very least. All right, let's move on. There is one. So obviously most people watch this press conference with Big Gary as he came out and made a fool of himself. You know, it's funny because you look at the selections for Minister of Public Safety, knowing full well that the portfolio is an absolute train wreck, like an unmitigated train on fire crashing into God knows what. Right.
So a dumpster. Yeah.
So they choose, you know, and you know, you saw this with Marco Mendocino, right? A total imbecile. Yeah. Right. Just zero talent, zero skill individual. And then it's like, how could they even top that? And it's like, boom, enter Gary Hernandez. Right. So anyway, he gets up there, and the biggest problem for these guys right now is the SKS. Because they're sitting there. You know, it's like that meme where the person's got the stick and they're poking something, like, come on, you know, like do something, right? And it's an SKS this time around, right? Because so many people own them. There's probably a million of them in Canada, maybe 800,000. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows other than Global Affairs Canada. But, you know, this is a big deal. This involves a lot more people than everything else that they've banned. So they're afraid of it. And so anyway, to get this little section started, why don't we listen to what Gary had to say?
We have expressed that we will be appointing an expert panel to review the SKS. As you're aware, SKS have a range of capabilities with older versions with very limited capabilities, and the more modern versions having much more assault style type capabilities. We are waiting for the expert panel to review and return with advice to us.
What on earth is he even talking about? Modern models have far more assault style capabilities.
Yeah.
Like, I am amazed and shocked every time I hear this guy talk that nobody in the bureaucracy of public safety, and I mean, some of these people worked there since the Harper days, nobody's given this guy a single cheat sheet, speaking note, information session, nothing. Like, it's shocking to me that he says stuff like this. And an expert panel of who? It's so expert that it's top secret. Like, it's not public. We know exactly who it is. Let's not kid ourselves. But what a way to do business. And if you watch the entire press conference, you'll also notice one other really important thing. The Quebec public safety minister who was there gave a very specific warning. Not only is he warning you not to take your compensation bucks, if you get any at all, and go buy another SKS because it might also be an assaulty styled firearm, but he led you to believe they are still going to ban other ones too. So it went from, we'll compensate everybody and you can go buy a replacement, to we're compensating almost nobody. And don't buy any other gun because you're not going to be able to guess what we ban next. Like, what an absolute farce, like just a joke of a policy.
Yeah, it's a real mess. And Gary, What a mess. Like, that is the top law enforcement official in this country, in a G7 nation. So anyway.
Yeah, hopefully we're never invaded because it's over.
Yeah. Well, there'll be a lot of military leaders having a good cry if we get invaded.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Was that fair? All right. So it's time to move away from all this negative news. Oh, well, it's sort of our segue is the negative, but then the positive. And let's start talking about exciting stuff. And, you know, on the exciting stuff front, what is going in our favor? And the most important thing that you should be expecting from any kind of law, gun lobby in this country, what are you doing about it? Right? Like that's the standard. So anyway, we're going to start off with some bad news turned good news. Who is involved? Who is signed on to this, you know, confiscation program, and who hasn't?
Okay, so the organizations that have signed on to help the liberals with the gun grab is much shorter, thankfully. So we'll start with that. You've got Cape Breton, Halifax, Fredericton, and Winnipeg have all signed agreements, to my understanding. And then, of course, unfortunately, all of Quebec, which really sucks for our Quebec friends. But basically, everybody else has stacked up against it. And it's interesting because I think it was yesterday, there was news out of Toronto Police Services, and that's the biggest municipal police force in the country. And they came out against it, not just their union, the Toronto Police Association, which is the police union that represents the officers, but the chief himself was like, no, forget it. We're not doing it. And last night I was at an event. Clayton Campbell was there. He is the president of that, the RC or the police union. And he's a gun owner himself. And he said a lot of their guys are too. And they are absolutely not helping. Just before we jumped on here, there was an announcement out of the Barrie Police Services. And they're like, no, we're not doing it. And then, you know, I see our social media guys sharing this clip of Doug Ford. He was asked at a press conference for something else. He was asked about the gun grab. And he went on a tangent about it. And he's opposing it too.
Colin, I want to thank you for asking me about the gun buyback as well. So... You know, this gun buyback, I stand with my other premiers, no matter if it's Premier Smith in Alberta, Premier Moe in Saskatchewan, or Premier Wab Canoe and myself, and I'm sure our great Premier in Newfoundland, not speaking for them, or Nova Scotia, but they're like-minded. A lot of hunters up in Nova Scotia. I can tell you one thing, folks. When I go out there, I've never, ever once heard someone come up to me and say, you know those law-abiding hunters? Let's go take their guns. I've never heard that. What I hear a dozen times a day, no matter where I go, I feel so unsafe in our city. I'm scared to go out at night. I'm scared to go and hop on the subway. My kids are up all night thinking someone's going to kick in the door and put a gun to our head, an illegal gun that is coming across the border. That's what they're worried about. So my recommendation, stop wasting money at the federal government. Let's start focusing on getting your bail reform that you made a big deal about. We're doing bail. You still haven't passed it.
All the way down to the most unlikely allies. And of course, in the very backwards and upside down NDP leadership race that's going on right now, every single candidate for the NDP stacked up against it. Now, it's easy to do that when it's too late and this is already done. And of course, their MPs voted in lockstep with the Liberals the entire time. But in any event, going forward, this is their policy, is that they don't support it. So the list of supporters is pretty small. It's Quebec, a couple of maritime provinces, Winnipeg is an outlier, and the anti-gun lobby groups. That's it.
Well, even Wab Canoe says no on a provincial level. Yeah. So,
oh, yeah. And he was like berated by a CBC reporter for the asking him crazy questions. And it was so wild to watch because he handled it pretty well for somebody who's not really a subject matter expert on this. But it's the easiest debate to ever have. You're going after the wrong people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And if it was about public safety, they would compensate people like they promised for over half a decade. So that's bonk, case closed.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay. So that's the There's a handful of people that have signed on, you know, Quebec being the biggest one, but still, you know, over still a very small minority in the country. And then a lot of people rejecting it on its face, which is fantastic. But the next question is, what are we going to do about it? Is there something that we should do? And, you know, there are people that are like, oh, just don't do anything, let it fail. And it's like, nope, we want to help it fail because that is our job. People across the country support the CCFR. We are the most effective, largest gun group in the history of the country. So no, if this boulder is about tipping off the edge of the mountain, it's our job to get there, to give it the biggest push we possibly can. So we do have a plan. Now, I'm not going to tell you what this project is yet. You will find out all about it in the next episode because we're getting really close to releasing it. But we're not there yet. Well, so I can't talk about that, but it is a national campaign of sorts. However,
well, and it's really important. I mean, I hate to interject, but we have to do these big things in order to show big opposition to it. Sitting back on our hands and sending out a newsletter isn't going to do a thing, right? We've got to get behind it and do some work. And to me, when you're going to do big things like this, unfortunately, it costs a lot of money. And the only limit to this kind of stuff is ourselves. The more we raise, the bigger we can go, the better the impact, maybe the better the outcome. Like, I don't know. We promised people we would try everything and do everything and we would never give up. And we meant it. And we're going to stick to it.
Yeah, we meant it. We haven't given up. Yeah. And I'll tell you, just I know we're on our way to releasing some information right now. But it's funny. A friend of ours, DJ, Yukon Strong on X, you know, he shared a video that I made. I don't know, whatever, 2 hours after the compensation program, confiscation program rollout. And I forget what he said, but he's like, this guy is unbelievable. You know, like he's cold as ice, you know, whatever. Right.
Well, you have a lot of restraint.
Yeah. Because I wasn't that emotional. I mean, for me, I was quite emotional, but it's like, we are just as upset as everybody else. I'm losing more than what the average person has lost in the prohibitions, right? But that's, you know, us losing our minds, us ranting and raving like lunatics is not going to help anybody. Us staying calm and calculated and figuring out how we can punch these people in the face at every turn is the only way that we're going to make a difference. And giving up now isn't an option. I mean, I know I've said that a million times. But it's interesting because when stuff like this happens, I don't want to derail our own, you know, podcast here, but when stuff like this happens, like it hits me too. Like I start walking around the house or walking around the studio going like, what am I even doing here? Like the hits just keep, and I think, well, when is it that you really put your foot to the floor? Do you do that in the middle of everything? Or do you do it as they increase the pressure? You're actually supposed to increase the pressure. You don't just give up right at the end when they're about to win. You're just like, okay, just take it. Like, that's just not how this works.
And doing nothing is exactly that. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, doing nothing and sitting back is actually worse because you're not putting forward any kind of real opposition to it. Our members would be like, hey, what are you guys doing? What's happening? I don't know. I just absolutely refuse to give in to these people. You're the same way. We're not built that way. Yeah. And I wish things are working better. Do we know if this is going to work? We don't know, but we have to try.
People legitimately asking, you know, their firearm organization, like, what is it you guys are doing? Are you going to do something like that? That's not who we are.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So anyway.
No, people shouldn't have to ask. They know exactly what we're doing because we're doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Well, and we put it on the website too, so you don't have to ask. But anyway.
That's right.
All right. So we have a big project coming out. All this to say, this long diatribe to say we have a huge project coming out. I'm hoping to have it out by the end of this month, which is only like another 10 days, 9 days from when we're recording this, which is on the Wednesday. Yeah. But it's going to be expensive. And the more money we raise, the bigger this project can be. And I'm hoping it'll have a huge effect, but we got to raise that money. So what we decided to do is come out with the biggest gun contest in the history of the Canadian firearms community. Literally the biggest contest ever. Now we have a promo video. Are you ready to see it?
I am. Let's see it.
Let's do it.
The CCFR is rolling out the biggest gun contest in Canadian history. It's called the It's Raining Guns Contest. Canada's gun lobby is launching an unprecedented project to hold the Liberals accountable for what they're doing to law-abiding citizens. To raise the funds for this project, the CCFR is going to give away 100 guns. Yeah, you heard that right. We're giving away 100 guns. The contest is open right now, and it ends May 1st. 2026, so you don't have long. Now, here's how it works. Donate $20 to the CCFR and you'll receive one free entry into the contest. The prizes will be awarded in one long video on or about May 4th of this year. 100 names will be chosen at random and a donated firearm will be awarded. We asked Canada's business community for help and they answered the call, so you'll also find out who stepped up to help. To enter, go to ccfr.ca right now. That's ccfr.ca. Read all the contest rules carefully, donate $20, and you'll get a free entry into the contest. It's really that simple. There are 100 chances to win. The time to fight back against this wasteful, ineffective, and outrageous confiscation program is right now. In fact, it's really now or never. And you just wait to see what we're going to do. So go to ccfr.ca right now, read the contest rules, and help the CCFR let these people know that we aren't giving up anytime soon. It's raining guns, so donate before the contest ends this May 1st, 2026, and thank you for your help. Hallelujah,
it's raining guns. It's raining guns. Okay, when you first told me about this, I actually thought you were nuts. I was like, what do you mean 100 guns? Like, this is nuts. You know, we've done some big stuff. We've got the, you know, great best day ever contest. We had those, you know, sky dropped packages contest. Like, we've done some pretty cool
supply
stuff.
Drop. Yeah. But,
yeah. Well, remember, what was it? Remember the contest where they could pick the packages.
Yeah. Well, we had,
it was awesome.
We had the ultimate choice. We had the ultimate supply drop. We had
the supply drop. That was
best day ever. Yeah.
Yeah. And those are really fun and they're really big, good prizes, but 100 guns. I was like, that's impossible. But the more we started working on it, the more we reached out to our industry partners, the more we realized it's totally possible. Like, it's crazy. We're going to give away 100 guns. Plus, this is going to melt Liberal minds. And I love that. The anti-gunners are going to hate it. We're going to increase gun ownership by 100 guns, which is great. So, yeah, I'm a big supporter. Yeah. I like it.
And hopefully, and so you have, as I said in the video, you have 100 chances to win. Right. All of our big contests. Yeah. Sometimes we had runner-up prizes, like two runner-up prizes. Well, I think one time we had five because there was a couple of neon signs in there, too. I think that's what it was one time. But 100 chances to win. Now, you know, these aren't going to be, you know, $2,000 guns or whatever. But still, 100 people are going to get a new gun. So it's going to be awesome. So as I said in the video, donate $20 to the CCFR. That gets you one free entry into the contest. Donate $100, I get you five free entries into the contest. Mm-hmm. It's easy math. It's all that math is done on the website for you. So, you know, 100 chances to win those are pretty good odds.
And that's open now?
That's open now. Now this is important. Thank you for saying that. Because what I did was I backdated this contest so that anyone who had donated to the CCFR, I think, what was it, on the 16th, I think I backdated it, they're already in. Okay. They're already into the contest. And oddly enough, someone just sent a big donation, like literally yesterday, and they have no idea, unless they're watching this, they actually ended up with how many entries?
Are you going to ask me to do math that you're right on live on the show?
Yeah.
That's a lot of entries.
Yeah. Like, I think it's... It's 50 entries.
It's like 50 entries.
Yeah. So good for them. All right.
Yeah.
Very excited.
That was a big donation for a person to send. So
for
that's,
sure. Yeah. Oh, we appreciate I can't tell you how much we appreciate the help because we want to do big things. We still want to swing for the fences all the way to the last day. And we couldn't do it if people weren't supporting us. So,
yes.
You know,
you can win guns.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out who's all the industry partners that have been helping us with this. So that's really important.
People came through. And so when we do the draw, I'm going to be telling them every gun that's awarded, I'm going to be mentioning who it is that donated that firearm so that people our business community, the people that are really helping, the people that are giving, they get the recognition for that. Okay.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Last thing we want to talk about real quick is the annual general meeting. We are doing this in person. We're doing it in person no matter what, unless planes aren't flying anymore. That would be the only thing that stopped.
Whatever. Like, I would walk there at this point. Like, I,
there you go.
Yes, we are doing it. Yes. I actually went and checked out the hotel yesterday. So save the date. You're going to want to be in Toronto for Saturday, May 23rd, 2026. We have a hotel. It's right near the airport, which is fantastic for those of us. Well, for those of you who are flying in, I'm driving personally. You can go ahead and even book flights. Come in on the Friday, out on the Sunday, whatever you want. The hotel group rate will be up shortly. Beautiful hotel. All the rooms are suites, which is really cool. There's going to be the event ticket link will be up shortly. I actually need a couple hours to sit at my computer without everything catching on fire to be able to put it all together. But all the pieces are coming together. We're going to have the business meeting with all the boring stuff in the morning. We're going to have an ask me anything between with you and I. So we are accountable to our members and they can ask us anything they want. We're going to have lots of great speakers, a big, delicious buffet dinner. We're going to have cocktails. We're going to have a laser range set up so you can challenge me to a duel if you want to lose. We're going to have the swag shop set up there so you can get your swag. It's like a mini one-day convention. It's going to be a big, long, awesome, ridiculous day, and I can't wait.
All right, in Mississauga, Ontario, 10 minutes away from Pearson Airport, and it is on May the 23rd this year.
Yes, sir.
Saturday, May the 23rd. Yes. Make sure that you save the date.
Yes, I'll see you there.
Awesome. Okay. So we had a list of all kinds of other stuff to talk about, even if all of this, you know, confiscation program stuff didn't roll out. But we're just going to put that on the back burner like we do with a lot of news because there's always so much going on, which is still mind-boggling for me. We covered the main stuff. So here we are, onwards and upwards. So thanks for the update, Ms. Wilson. And I guess we will see you in the next one.
We'll see you then.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 203 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks everyone for watching, listening. Really appreciate it. I got a couple of things to go over with you before I let you go. As I mentioned in the intro, I will tell you this. I had over half a page, almost two thirds of a page of stuff to talk about in this podcast. Never got a chance to talk about it. I don't know, maybe talked about a handful of items off that list. The overwhelming majority didn't even talk about them. There's so much going on. It's just ridiculous, but I don't know. I pine for the day where I have to consider not doing the podcast anymore or going to once a month because there's so little going on, right? So, you know, all of our problems are solved and everyone's just focusing on enjoying their lives again instead of fighting all the time. But anyway, that's just not where we are. And this responsibility has fallen on our generation and we have to answer the call. That's just the story. That's just the way it is. So anyway, a couple of things. One, an update on our Supreme Court application. I was on the phone with the CCFR's general counsel, Mike Loberg of Loberg Echter in Calgary, Alberta, day before yesterday, I think. And Mike's like, man, it is taking forever for the Supreme Court to get back to us. Usually we would have long heard from them by now, even if it was just to tell us to get lost, right? And I'm like, well, how long has it been? And neither of us could think of it. So I looked through my emails, did an email search, and those documents were filed somewhere in the middle of June. So it's been 7 months. Weird. You know, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, I can certainly speculate. I don't know if it's useful for me to speculate with you right now, waste your time. But I have my own thoughts of why it's taking so long or what I would like to think is true. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know, we have not heard from the Supreme Court yet. Okay. I released this past week two videos. One was after a reaction video right after the announcement about the confiscation program. And then the other one was like, how does the government, you know, how the government could track your guns or how the government knows what guns you have and whatever. I can't remember the title of the video. Life moves fast for me. And so the first video, what I wanted to tell you about that is, if you haven't watched it, maybe consider watching that. And this is the only reason, because something I've been saying a lot lately, and thankfully media is now helping me spread that message because it's important. It's something that you want to use in conversation with people that aren't gun owners or people that might be likely to believe that the confiscation program is about public safety, and or that even that the liberals believe it's about public safety, and maybe you're just mistaken. It's really important that you don't just go, it's not about public safety, gun owners aren't the problem, all the rest of that stuff. People hear that and they're just like, yeah, you're a gun owner, I know you would say that. But when you say something like, the liberals were so convinced that this was that these firearms are so dangerous for us to have in our communities that they had to ban them all and then promise for 6 years to compensate to the tune of what should be about a $5 to $6 billion program. But here that we've gotten to this day, it turns out when I told you, Uncle Bill, you know, all these months ago that this wasn't about public safety, it's true. Because number one, the sitting Minister of Public Safety, Gary Anandasangri, admitted it on leaked audio that this was 4 votes in Quebec and that if he had it all over to do again, he wouldn't do this. And not to ask him to explain the logic behind this program, because obviously there is no logic. That's one thing. But the cut and dried, case closed, you know, the jury finds for the defense, this piece of evidence is the fact that they're not going to pay for these guns. Because remember this question, I know you've heard it, but I just want you to have it in your mind. If this was really about public safety, why would they tell gun owners that only a handful of them are going to get paid and the rest are going to get ripped off? Why would they tell them that? Right? Why would they want people not to participate in this? There's over 2 million guns in circulation that qualify for this compensation program, confiscation program, and they're going to pay for 138,000 of them, or 136, or whatever it is. Like, why? Why wouldn't you just pay for them? Why wouldn't you tell gun owners, if you bring one of these guns, you will get paid 100% and for 100% of the value? We just need to get these out of our communities, as we've said for 6 years. Why wouldn't they do that? Anyway, and this is Carney's decision ultimately. The pragmatist, right? Anyway, just that's really important. So that's in that video. The second video was like how the government can track guns, even though they're previously non-restricted and now prohibited. So you may want to watch that. In that video, I did make a mistake though. So, and I put a correction on all my social media. I put a correction in the description box of the video itself on YouTube. But anyway, just in case somebody hasn't seen it, it was the date of the coming into force of the retail ledger requirement for the transfer of non-restricted firearms. And it was for the reference number, license verification check between individuals when transferring a non-restricted firearm. So that came into force on May 18th, 2022. I had said July 7th, 2021. And I'll tell you why I made that mistake, because I used AI, right? I was just like, when did this come into force? But either I looked at the wrong link or the AI made a mistake, probably me because I'm human. And there was other provisions from Bill C-71 that went into force on July 7th, 2021, but it was the two that I was referencing that came into force on May 18th, 2022. And it's funny because when I found that date, I was like, I thought it was 2022, you know, but instead of second guessing AI or second guessing myself, I was like, this must be right. So anyway, yeah. And I will just say this about that. The fact that that date was later, like closer to today than, you know, July 2021 is of great benefit, because all those guns now aren't tracked all the way up to, you know, towards us to May 18th, 2022. So anyway, watch that video. Read the comment. I know there's a lot of comments. There's a lot of talk back and forth. There's some other things to consider about firearm disposal or destruction. So anyway, maybe what I'll do is I'll organize some of those thoughts and bring them into the next podcast to save you from going around and looking for them. But there's some interesting stuff there. But I also have to check with lawyers before I give you that advice, because I'm not one. Okay. I do want to reiterate our call for volunteers. So we're doing, you know, an elevated number of shows this spring. We're just looking for people to help over the next couple of months, few months, like 1 or 2 days in the following areas, if indeed you are willing to help. And that is in New Brunswick, Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, Northern British Columbia, in the Kootenai region in British Columbia, Fraser Valley, Greater Vancouver, you know, Lower Mainland of British Columbia, Vancouver Island, or Manitoba and Saskatchewan. That's where our teams are being stretched a little bit thin. So if you've got a day or two that you can volunteer for the CCFR, just work a booth, sell some swag, talk about guns, talk about the CCFR. We could just absolutely use your help. So if you want to do that, reach out to our volunteer folks at volunteer@firearmrights.ca. That's volunteer@firearmrights.ca. And in the subject line, do me a favor and put in urgent help needed, I think. I'm still looking. Hang on. I think it's urgent help needed, because that will let people know when they see the email come in. It's like, oh, this is for this extra help that we're looking for. Yeah, urgent help needed. And then, and last but not least, stay tuned to the next episode for our big announcement about our national public relations campaign, you could call it. I'm hoping, as long as nothing unforeseen happens, I will give you all the details of what we're doing and where you can check that out in the next episode. And to fund it, of course, we have launched the largest, the biggest, the grandest. Is grandest a real word? If it's not, it is now. Gun contest in the history of the country. It's Raining Guns. The CCFR's It's Raining Guns contest. And we are giving away 100 guns. That'll be a tedious video to watch because that's 100 draws. But anyway, you'll have to hang in there. So anyway, you can enter for free by just donating increments of $20 to the CCFR. For every $20 you donate, you'll get a free entry into the contest. Donate $100, you get $5. Donate $200, you get $10. As many $20 donations in one lump sum as you want, we will parse that out and give you the equivalent entries into the contest. The contest ends May the 1st of all dates, May 1st, 2026, and then on or about May 4th, I will do that crazy long draw and I will give away 100 guns one at a time. So anyway, it's Raining Guns. Don't lose your chance. The contest started days ago, so even if you just donated, don't worry, you're already entered. So that's awesome. Okay, go to ccfr.ca if you want to do that. That's it. That's everything. Thanks for hanging in there with me. Take care. And I will see you in the next one.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.